All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be looking at a pretty foundational case, I think, in natural resources law. You know, something that has had a ripple effect through the years. And it's a 1978 case, United States v. New Mexico. It's a Supreme Court decision. And it really kind of shaped how we look at federal water rights, you know, especially when we talk about national forests, it just keeps coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, United States v. New Mexico, you know, this isn't just some sort of like dusty old case, right? It's one of those cases that really gets at the heart of, you know, federal and state power, and specifically kind of, you know, the balance between the feds and the states when it comes to water,
yeah.
You know, which is obviously such a crucial resource, especially out west. So, yeah, I think if you're looking at water law in the United States, you have to grapple with this case.
Yeah, it's a cornerstone. And so for this deep dive, you've given us some really great resources. We've got the actual case, the Supreme Court opinion. We've got some other analyses of the case, some facts of the case, and just why it's so important. And so I think that what we want to do today is really extract, you know, the need to know stuff, right? So we're going to talk about the main conflict that went to the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about the court's reasoning, you know, in this case, and specifically around reserved water rights when it comes to national forests. But we're going to try to do it in a way that doesn't get too bogged down in legalese.
Yeah, I think that's always the goal, right?
Yeah,
let's make this stuff understandable.
Yeah. So let's start with just kind of the setting. You know, where does this case take place?
So United States v. New Mexico takes us to the Rio Mimbres, which is this river that flows through the Gila National Forest in New Mexico. And, you know, the river itself is this really important water source for the whole region. It's beautiful. It's scenic. But it's also, it's like super vital to everybody who lives in that area.
Right. And then the legal action kind of kicks off in 1970. New Mexico started what's called a stream adjudication for the Rio Mimbres. Now, I know that's a fancy legal term, but basically what that means is, you know, you go to court and you're trying to figure out who has the right to use the water in a particular stream. So who gets, you know, what share of the water when water is limited. So that's what's happening here.
Right. And that's the process where you bring everybody into court. All the people who have a potential claim to the water, the state's kind of overseeing it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to say, okay, you get this much, you get this much, you get this much, based on, you know, the legal principles that are out there.
Right. And so that's when the U.S. government, you know, steps in, acting on behalf of the Gila National Forest. And they say, we assert reserved water rights. And they do it for a whole bunch of purposes. They talk about recreation, you know, the beauty of the place, grazing,
right,
and also wildlife preservation. So they're making a pretty big claim here, the water.
Yeah, they're claiming a lot of water. And this is where it gets interesting, right? Because New Mexico's courts, they push back and they say, hold on, the only water rights that the feds can claim here are those that are really essential for the original reasons why Congress created national forests way back in 1897. And they say that really, those reasons were just to secure good water flows and to make sure there was a continuous supply of timber.
And that actually makes a lot of sense when you read the Organic Administration Act of 1897, which was the law that, you know, established these national forests.
Yeah.
And yeah, you read it and it is all about timber and it is about water flows. It's not really talking about recreation in the way that we think about it today, right?
Yeah.
Or some of these more kind of ecological purposes.
It's really about, yeah, resource management, making sure that the forests are healthy and productive for those two purposes. And so the case ends up going to the Supreme Court because the U.S. is not happy with this more limited view of its water rights. And they want the court to decide, did Congress, when they created national forests back in the 1800s, did they mean to reserve water for all of these things or just timber and water flow?
Yeah. So to understand what the Supreme Court does in this case, we have to talk about a key legal concept called the implied reservation doctrine. What is that all about?
So the implied reservation doctrine, it's this really powerful idea in natural resources law. And basically what it says is that when the federal government sets aside land for some purpose, like, you know, creating a national park or a military base, or in this case, a national forest, they also are implicitly reserving the water that is absolutely necessary to fulfill that purpose.
So it's not like you're going to find a document that says they get this much water. It's implied in the creation of the reservation.
Right, exactly. It's like, we're creating this forest. We need water to make it work, so we get the water we need. But, and this is the key thing, it's only the water that is absolutely necessary to fulfill that original purpose of the reservation. It's not just any water that they want.
Right. So that brings us back to this 1897 Organic Administration Act.
Mm.
You know, we know what it says, timber and water flows.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, you know, you look at that law and you don't see recreation, you know, or wildlife or the scenic beauty of the forest as explicit reasons for, you know, setting them aside.
Right. And so this is where the Supreme Court really zeroes in, right? They're looking at what Congress intended back in 1897. What were they thinking when they created these forests?
And then, you know, fast forward a few decades, right? 1960, Congress passes the Multiple Use Sustained Yield Act. And this law, it really kind of expands, you know, what national forests are for. Now it's recreation, it's grazing, it's watershed protection, it's fish and wildlife. It really changes the game.
Right. So you might think, okay, well, now we've got this new law. Doesn't that mean the national forests now get water for all of these new things too? And it's a great question. But the Supreme Court, they say no. They say you can't just retroactively apply this new law to expand water rights that were established under the old law.
So it's like, you know, the law in 1897, that's what matters when you're talking about the implied reservation doctrine. You can't just sort of go back and change it based on what, you know, Congress decided decades later.
Right. So in a lot of areas of law, you see courts looking at the whole history, the evolution of something. But in this case, the Supreme Court says, no, we're really focused on that original intent. You have to go back to that moment in time and understand what they meant then.
Okay. So let's get to the Supreme Court's decision. The opinion was written by Justice Rehnquist. And what does the court say?
So the court, they ruled that the implied water rights for the Gila National Forest are limited to the water that is essential for the original purposes of the forest. And they're sticking to that 1897 Act. It's all about timber. It's all about water flows. So the court basically says if the feds want water for recreation or wildlife or anything else, they have to go through the state's water allocation system.
Right. So you can't just make these claims based on this broad interpretation of the Forest Service's purposes today. They have to follow the state law.
And Justice Rehnquist, in his opinion, he really emphasizes, you know, how important it is to respect state water law. You know, states have traditionally had a lot of power over water. And the implied reservation doctrine, it's an exception to that. But the court's saying, we don't want to make this exception too big.
Right, right. And, you know, I think that goes back to this idea of federalism, right? This balance between the federal government and the state. And here, the court is saying, you know, water law is something that states really have historically controlled.
Yeah. And that Congress has often shown deference to states when it comes to water. So unless it's super clear that the federal government needs water for some core federal purpose, you know, the state should have the power to decide who gets the water.
Now, there was a dissenting opinion in this case written by Justice Powell. What was his take?
So Justice Powell, he takes a different view. He says, look, when Congress set aside these national forests to improve and protect them, that includes protecting the ecosystems. And for him, ecosystems mean wildlife, too. You can't have a healthy forest without the animals that live there.
Right. And so he says, if you're denying water for wildlife, you're basically undermining the whole point of having a national forest in the first place. You know, you need the water to support the plants, the animals, the whole system.
Exactly. And I think this dissent really gets at some of the big tensions we see today, right? You know, how should we manage our public land? Should we be super strict about the original intent of the law? Or should we also consider, you know, our changing values, our modern understanding of science? You know, we know so much more about how ecosystems work now than they did in the 1800s. So should the law adapt to that?
Right. And it's a question that comes up all the time, you know, with climate change, with all of these new challenges. How do you balance what people thought back then with what we know now?
Yeah. And I think Powell's dissent kind of captures that. He's saying we need to look at the big picture, not just be stuck in the past.
So I think, you know, to kind of wrap this up, what are the big takeaways from this case? You know, if you're a law student, why do you care about United States v. New Mexico?
I think the biggest takeaway is how this case narrowed the scope of federal water rights in national forests. After this case, federal agencies, they couldn't just say, we need water for recreation or we need water for endangered species, unless Congress had specifically authorized that back when the forest was created. It really limited what they could do.
Yeah, and it really emphasized this idea of looking at the law as it existed at a particular moment in time.
Right.
The intent of the lawmakers back then, not just what we think is important today.
Absolutely. It's all about statutory interpretation. And this case is a classic example of that.
And it's also a great example of federalism, you know, this balance between the federal government and the states. And here, the court is saying states have a big role in managing water. And unless there's a really clear federal interest, you know, they get to decide how water is used.
In this case, it's not just important for national forests, right?
Yeah.
It's had this ripple effect throughout water law. You know, your source material even mentions Arizona v. California, which is another huge Supreme Court case. And a lot of the same principles from United States v. New Mexico, they come up there too. So it's not an isolated case. It's something that's like woven into the fabric of water law.
Yeah. There's like a thread you just keep seeing.
Yeah.
And so as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, I think it leaves you with this really big question, right? You know, how do we balance these original purposes of federal lands with, you know, what we value today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the environment, the way that we use these lands, it's different. And this idea that the law is kind of locked in time, you know, does that still make sense in the 21st century?
It's a tough question. And it's one that comes up in a lot of environmental law cases.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you're interested in this stuff, I would encourage you to go back and read the legislative history of the Organic Act, the Multiple Use Act.
Hmm.
You know, look at what Congress was actually saying, the reports they were reading, you know.
Yeah.
It really gives you a sense of what was going on back then. And then, you know, follow the cases. Look at what courts have done with these principles in other situations. It's a fascinating area of law.
Absolutely. And there are so many great resources out there. You know, law review articles, books, there's so much to explore.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for anyone who cares about the environment, about how we manage our resources, you know, this is stuff you need to know. It's not just for lawyers.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the cases that shape how we interact with our world.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for our deep dive on United States v. New Mexico. Hopefully you all found that helpful. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.